heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Great to be in the studio. It's the last day of the week, but an important day as we answer your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As Randy just mentioned, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Do want to remind you that the newest episode of Hank Unplugged, not the broadcast, but the podcast, is up and running. I interview the most interesting man in the world. That's what I like to call him, at least. Rod Dreher is the author of The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians Living in a Post-Christian Nation. This is absolute must reading, and by the way, available for those who support the ministry all this month, along with a book by Russell Moore, titled Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. Some of the topics that we engaged during our discussion included who Benedict was. I mean, when you think about this, Benedict lived at a time where civilization was collapsing. And he was, in many ways, responsible for laying the groundwork for the rebirth of Western civilization after Rome's fall. So he's an important figure in human history. And I think he also underscores the power of one. We should never forget the power of one. So often when we look at the cultural tsunami, we feel impotent in the midst of the storm. But one with God is still a majority. At any rate, that particular podcast is already up. I've done some other very interesting podcasts we'll talk about next week and beyond, but head to iTunes, equip.org, or wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcasts, and please don't forget to subscribe, to listen, to rate, to review, and to share the podcast with others. That'll ensure that these deeply enriching conversations, that's exactly what they are, will reach an even greater audience. And this is just another way for you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Before we go to our callers, do want to mention an article in the Washington Post. And this article has to do with the United Methodist Church and transgenderism. And it starts with a bishop who pours out a blessing on a person named M. This person is a transgender person, and therefore you can't use a name. You have to use a letter, because a name may connote one way or the other masculinity or femininity, and that would be a grave sin in this worldview. So M. Barclay, the person in view, first saw herself as a heterosexual, and then after reading feminist and queer theology, she transitioned. She has a brand new view of herself, and that was, I am a lesbian. But then she takes a job in a United Methodist Church ministry and promotes, as a result of this job, the inclusion of transgender, gender nonconforming people, and then felt the need to come out as such, not just queer, but transgender as well. So she's going through this transformation. But now, according to the article, she's a member of the clergy. Barclay is preaching from the LGBTQI handbook. the Handbook on Human Sexuality, Biblical Theology, Theology Hammered Out Through the Ecumenical Councils and the Creeds, no longer has any room or place in the process. And think about it, if that's what is happening within the second largest Protestant denomination in America, second largest, you can only imagine what as yet looms on the horizon. Because we are involved in a grand social engineering experiment. It's an experiment that is not only acquiesced to in the culture, but very clearly now in the church, and not some obscure little denomination, not one of 30,000 different permutations of Christianity within the Protestant faith, but this is the second largest. So if you think of all the expressions, this is number two. Ranks only behind the Southern Baptist Convention. And according to this social experiment, we have to refer to a person not only with a single letter, because a name connotes specific gender, but we are now compelled to use plural pronouns. So in the article, whenever M is mentioned, what is substituted is they or them or the possessive there. So they said is tantamount to M said. And the Washington Post article completely acquiesces to this and writes the article using those plural pronouns. And here's the thing. If you don't follow the protocol, this is now tantamount to bigotry and backwardness. In other words, this is sophistication. This is progressive. This is cutting edge in the church and the culture. And if you're not there intellectually or spiritually, wise up. At least that's the message. So where does all of this end? We have to look back to the beginnings. Think sexual revolution. All of that leading to the, and this was not long ago. I remember sitting in the studio talking about this as it was happening. 2015, and we're talking about 2 years ago. U.S. Supreme Court, remember the decision? Obergefell versus Hodges. And now suddenly, same-sex marriage becomes popular, prevalent, and not only in the culture, but again in the church. Why? Because the church is now a cultural imitator. And before long, the church begins ratifying and performing same-sex marriages, because a lot of churches are now hip and cool. So what's next on the slippery slope? Think about sanctioning of transgenderism based on feelings to the exclusion of biology. Or think about the fact that powerful institutions like the National Basketball Association punish those who do not comply with this social engineering experiment. In fact, they brought Charlotte, North Carolina to its knees financially, and then came the great conversion in Charlotte, North Carolina, the great acquiescence. Suddenly, when the financial pressure was applied, well, suddenly, Charlotte, North Carolina, well, along with the whole state, saw the light And thanks be to Adam Silver. He's now lifted the gauntlet. And Charlotte will once again receive the enormous revenues brought in by the All-Star Game when it's rescheduled in our city. Well, why do I mention that? I obviously mentioned that because there is a huge, huge financial repercussion. And there are many other repercussions as well, but the financial repercussion was so great, well, we caved. The U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage has not only undermined the foundation of human civilization, but it has opened what I would call a very grisly Pandora's box. Because given the court's reasoning, it's very hard for me to imagine how polyamory or how polygamy or how polyandry, maybe even pedophilia, will not likewise be blessed by the court. How can they do otherwise? They've set the precedent. And if there's no special virtue in opposite-sex marriage, is there any magic in the number two? And why arbitrarily assign 18 as the, well, magical age of consent? Once we abandon the biblical definition of marriage, there is no limit on where our unsanctified passions may lead us. And for me, it's increasingly hard to imagine that all of this, all of what comes out of Pandora's grisly box will not likewise be blessed by a church that is no longer a change agent, but a conformist. Lee Kuan Yew was right. All civilization is essentially fragile. So I suppose the question is, how then shall we live? And this is why I have been, well, forgive the word, but pushing two books. One, The Benedict Option by Rod Dreher, the other, Onward by Russell Moore. Both of these books teach you as a believer how to engage the culture without losing the gospel. And when the church becomes baptized secular humanism, when the biblical injunctions have no more meaning, the church then is no longer the church. I mean, if you listen to Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, then the salt has lost its saltiness. And when he followed that up with, well, it's terrifying. He then said, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So what is Jesus saying? We are the salt. And if we lose our saltiness, the leavening force in culture, then at that point, we have no value except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So what do? The culture wars have not started. They're not beginning. Many decades ago, I was talking about this very thing on the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Joe Dallas. And we were imagining what might happen in the future, and even in our wildest imaginations, we could not have imagined. What's the date today? June 16? We could not have imagined June 16, 2017. We could not have imagined the second largest church, the second largest denomination within Protestantism, and a priest pouring out his blessing and inducting someone into the clergy so as to preach from the LGBTQI and whatever other letter you want to append to it, playbook. But it's happened. The books that I'm talking about are invaluable. They're available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. When we come back from the break, directly to your questions right here live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. We'll be back in a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Let Let's not merely advocate for causes, says Russell Moore. Let's not aspire to be a moral majority, but a gospel community. One that doesn't exist for itself, but for the larger mission of reaching the whole world with the whole gospel. That sort of kingdom-first cultural engagement drives us not inward, but onward. Because retreat or surrender is not an option for Christians who care deeply about God's kingdom and our religious liberties as Americans, we want you to have Russell Moore's vital book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. To receive your copy of this timely and insightful book, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we're going to go right to our callers. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. You can dial that number right now. First up, Patrick. He's listening in Utahville, South Carolina, SiriusXM 131. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Hank. I got a couple questions within a question, I guess. Romans 8:39 says nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then when I read in Hebrews, towards the end of chapter 5 and 6, in my Bible it says warning against apostasy, and I'm taking that as you can maybe lose your salvation if once you're born again, you denounce Christ and the Word of God. And what do you think about that?
Well, not so much losing your salvation as walking away from your salvation, or worse yet, having a said faith as opposed to having a real faith. You can imagine Paul writing in Hebrews is writing to Jews. And these are Jews who tasted God's goodness. They knew about God. In fact, many of them would agree and did agree when Jesus did the miracles that he is, in fact, Lord of the universe. The universe itself is subject to him. But instead of trusting and depending on him alone, and that's what true faith entails. It's not only knowledge and agreement, but also trust. They walked back into their human traditions as opposed to following Jesus Christ as an active participant in the faith. So if you are an active participant in the faith, then you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and no one will be able to snatch you out of his hand. But quite frankly, if you try to go the journey alone,
yes,
you have no hope, because the journey is always a journey in community and communion. I mean, when you take up your cross and you daily follow Jesus Christ, you don't do it in isolation. Always do it in community.
Yes, and before being born again, I mean, it was immediately my life changed, and it's day and night. I understand that, but I never realized that he's talking to Hebrew. He's talking to the Jews, and they just completely went back to their old ways, like the man, the dog to the vomit, or whatever.
Well, some did, and some did not.
How do you explain Judas? Like he was an apostle. But Christ told him, like, the one who gives me up tonight should have never been born. You should have never been born. What? How do you explain that?
Well, here you have a person that has every single advantage. I mean, he's in Christ's inner circle. He is able to perform perhaps miracles. He's able to really be in charge of the financial situation that the apostles had, however that might be described as merely a money bag or whatever those needs were from a financial standpoint. So he's an inner circle person. And it is a great example of how we don't see the real person. Because I guarantee you, were you alive when Judas walked this earth, you would have said, I want to be like Judas. And because from every outward appearance, Judas was the absolute real deal. How do you get any more of a real deal than being in the inner circle with the very one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence? It doesn't get any better than that. So we would have looked at him and we would have said, wow, there's my example. Christ looked at him and saw a devil. In other words, he saw that Judas was not with him because he loved him. Judas was with him because he loved what was on the master's table. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us. Why do we follow Christ? Is it for perks or benefits or feelings or a good sermon? Or is it because we really, truly, genuinely, deeply love the Master and want to be a participant in his kingdom? Now, if you are in that latter category, you are an active participant within the pillar and ground of truth, the church, as a follower of Jesus Christ, well, your faith is not going to wane. It's going to grow. Yeah. It's just like if I was in a gymnasium three times a week, I promise you I'm not, but if I was, I'd be doing reps and you would see the results of that. I certainly would see the results of that. So we need to be in the spiritual gymnasium. We need to be active in our participation. And when we do that, there are results. And those results are an ever-deepening love for the one who knit us together in our mother's womb.
You know, it's a walking... I've never experienced anything like the teachings that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives me, you know, with Christ. It's been a journey. And I think what happened was I really never understood the fear of God. But when I read the apostasy part of Hebrews, and maybe even the chance of losing your salvation, that put the fear in me of, don't even play around with this stuff. Don't even play around with it, because it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's all about ordering your life around the divine. Thanks for your call, Patrick. Christina Hanegraaff, my daughter, who used to teach in Hong Kong, but when she found out I had cancer, she came back, and she's been sitting in the studio with me. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
On whether you can lose your salvation?
No, just on the conversation we just had.
I think it makes a lot of sense what you're saying, and I think that we must remind ourselves not to be like Judas in our age. You know, we have a lot of the benefits of the internet, of things that we can just reach so many people. And yet, as we see in the culture today, we're losing. And in this kind of advantage that we have, why are we losing? And it's because, like you say, Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to do. We are just, you know, trying to be friends with the culture. But the reality is Jesus was very kind, but he was also very serious. You know, Jesus said that people are going to hate you. They're not going to like what you're going to say. The goal of the gospel is not inclusivity. The goal of a gospel is a relationship with Christ. And so I think we have to remind ourselves through our everyday conversations, through the mediums that we choose and what we do with our lives, that we are just as much like Judas. And so don't be fooled and think that we couldn't fall into the same situation just because we're not in the inner circle. I mean, we are. I mean, Christ has given us the Holy Spirit, and we can carry out so many things with his prompting.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the fact that the gospel is an offense, but we don't have to add to the offense by the way we communicate the gospel.
Amen.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mike in Bellis, Alberta, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Brother Hank. How's you going?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Awesome, good. Right on. I was trying to get in here a little while ago, but I'm just a little confused on that point here. I'll leave all the little details out. But here last fall, I was talking with you concerning the Eucharist. But you said to me that you was an evangelical Protestant, if not evangelical, at least a Protestant. And here a few months ago, you converted to Orthodox. And you told somebody that you've been an Orthodox for 2.5 years already. And I'm a little confused there, a little like, you know, how... but you told me that you was a Protestant still, like, last fall.
You know, I really appreciate you calling and asking for clarification. Actually, the clarification is that I converted to Orthodoxy April 9. It was Palm Sunday this year. But I had been attending an Orthodox church with my family for a little over 2 years prior to that. So I appreciate you calling and give me this opportunity to make that clarification. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Carol in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on the web. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I had a question about honoring the Sabbath because it's very difficult for me to make Saturday my Sabbath and you know, with work and everything, I have Sunday as my day. And I don't, what are your feelings about that? How does God feel about us honoring Sunday and attending church and honoring Sunday as a holy day rather than the actual Sabbath Saturday?
Yeah, we actually ought to worship on the first day of the week. And why we do that is inextricably woven together with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, and we're celebrating the Sabbath rest we have in Jesus Christ. And so this is emblematic of the fact that we're no longer tied to types and shadows. The types and shadows have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And once the fulfillment comes, it is an abomination to go back to the types and shadows. Certainly, if you don't recognize the fulfillment. So there are people that worship on Saturday instead of Sunday that do recognize the fulfillment, but we must recognize the fulfillment. It is in Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. And the most dangerous snare for the early Christian church was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the very substance that fulfilled all the types and shadows that went before him. This is the very reason that the book of Hebrews makes very plain that to go back to temple priest and sacrifice when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Well, those are strong words, strong admonition. So we must recognize that we're not indebted any longer, or at least attached to luminous limestone and glistening gold, but rather we're attached to the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, and we can never go back to temple when the ultimate sacrifice has come. And we are now part of that body. We're inextricably linked with Christ. He is the head. We are his body. Coming to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, as well as the quote of the day. This is one of the most phenomenal quotes. Takes a lot of thinking. One of the most phenomenal quotes you'll ever hear.
Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We are seeing the advent of post-truth culture with ferocious social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility. We as Western Christians are in a fight for our lives. This is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere a very timely book. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore. This remarkable book will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a little prologue to the quote of the day, which is that we sometimes think that the rescue that Jesus Christ provided from sin and death is a glorious truth. And that is indeed so. It is a glorious truth. However, the salvation that Jesus Christ provided through His sacrifice has an incomparably greater aspect to it. Because we are not merely saved from sin. We are saved for sonship. And no one spoke of this more poignantly and precisely than the great Orthodox theologian Vladimir Lossky. The quote of the day comes from this very keen pen in mind. Said Lossky, quote, "After the fall, human history is a long shipwreck awaiting rescue. But the port of salvation is not the goal. It is the possibility for the shipwreck to resume his journey, whose sole goal is union with God." Again, Vladimir Lossky. This is all about our growth from image into likeness, which does not merely bring us back to where Adam and Eve were before the fall, but it brings us back to access to the tree of life provided for us by the Prince of Life, who stretches one arm out and touches the Edenic garden and the other the eternal garden. A great quote. I love it. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Pam. She's in Conrad, Texas, also on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Hi.
I was thinking about your conversation about Judas a few minutes ago, and my question was he destined to sin to fulfill God's plan?
Well, I cannot say what would happen in every single possible converging circumstance. I mean, God could. And there is a theory out there that is called middle knowledge. I won't get into that because from my standpoint, I love living in the land of antinomy, which simply means that there's a tension in Scripture. On the one hand, I choose my path, but God directs my steps. On the one hand, God is sovereign. On the other hand, what I do really matters. So we can't say what would have happened if Adam and Eve had not fallen into lives of perpetual sin terminated by death. We cannot say what would have happened if Judas had not succumbed to the temptations of the devil. What we can say is what is. We can say beyond the peradventure of a doubt that God created Adam and Eve with the ability to choose to love him or do otherwise. And because God gave Adam and Eve volition, love was possible, and Adam and Eve could choose. Love is never possible without volition. It becomes meaningless. And Adam and Eve chose to sin. They chose disobedience. They chose to become God on their own terms. As a result of that, they were barred from the tree of life. And then you have the grand meta-narrative of Scripture, the unfolding plan of redemption culminating in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. The details given to us in Scripture, just as they are. Judas could have been a true faithful follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, he had everything in his favor. No one had more in their favor. But again, we see that sin is irrational. So what happened is Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, something that we fast every single Wednesday to remember, is the betrayal of Jesus Christ by Judas, and every Friday, the outcome of that, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So we fast as we remember the betrayal on Wednesday and the crucifixion on Friday. So this doesn't become old hat to us, but this is constantly new and fresh in our memory, so that we do not go and do likewise.
I just thought of something that I taught my students, and it's Esther 4:14. We talked to them about not losing your influence, and we listened to a podcast, and he talks about Esther, and Esther 4:14, where it says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." So it's that aspect where, yeah, Esther was in this position and her decision could matter. And it did because of what she did. Judas was in that position. And what he did could have been great. He could have been included in the storybooks, but he chose not to. And God could have used someone else. So I think that's an interesting perspective to shed light on the situation.
I think it's brilliant, a brilliant comment on this particular subject. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. In fact, I just happen to be listening to it right now. And as you point out, Esther is raised up by God to sovereignly save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. But her will played a crucial role in the whole scenario, and the text actually underscores that. What I think is very, very cool about this passage in toto is the fact that when the nations looked on and saw what happened as a result of Esther's faithfulness, the text actually says that on that day, many different people from many different nations became Jews. And I always find that interesting, because how do you become a Jew if you're from another nation? Well, you can't change your birth mother. You can't change your green card. You become a Jew because you are now one of those that is brought into the whole panoply of people who are now following God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, that ultimately will be revealed in Jesus Christ. So, what's the lesson there? The lesson is that to be a Jew in that context means to be true Israel. And true Israel is not a function of nationality. It is always a function of spirituality. It's not a function of the circumcision of the flesh. It is a function of the circumcision of the heart, because God does not play favorites. You know, I want to go to a Facebook question, lest I forget to go to a Facebook question. We are very, very involved in social media these days, and so Facebook is very important to me. If you've never seen the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, I've done a lot of vlogs and Facebook Lives. You can find them all archived on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. Check it out. But here's a question from Facebook social media. I've read about soft tissue being discovered in dinosaur fossils. Is this a conundrum for old Earth proponents? Now, that's a good question. I actually addressed that question in a book that I wrote called The Creation Answer Book. And what I point out in the entry there is that scientists who conducted the research actually never claimed to have found either fresh blood cells or hemoglobin. In fact, the scientific journals instead report the discovery of collagen, which, of course, is a protein found in bone. I'm kind of familiar with all these things now, having mantle cell lymphoma. And the presence of this collagen would not in and of itself prove that humans walked with dinosaurs in the last several thousand years. I think there's something else that needs to be addressed here, and that is headlines such as, and these headlines, I mean, you find them on the internet, sensationalism, sophistry, selling, it's disgraceful, but headlines such as blood chemicals found in dino bone, this kind of headlines are grounded in sensationalistic news flashes, not in scientific literature. And the tragedy is, these kinds of news flashes are not just relegated to secularists. You find them in Christian literature as well. Shame on us. In fact, that fact of science is cited as one of the six evidences that the universe is young, and yet it is, again, sloppy journalism, sensationalism, it's sophistry, it's out of bounds. Statements that no intact dinosaur blood cells have been discovered have prompted the unfounded allegation, and this is where it really gets into conspiracy theories, that scientists are presently engaged in a massive cover-up or a conspiracy. But that's no more factual than the contention that we now have physical evidence that dinosaur bones are not millions of years old. The bottom line for me is simply this: there's no need or room for make-believe stories in the creation-evolution debate. And by the way, an earth measured in billions of years is no threat to a biblical worldview of creation, no matter how many years the evolutionist postulates. Chance operating on natural processes could no more produce a DNA molecule than it could a dinosaur bone. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here Monday with more. Do remember, this is our Make It or Break It month. We're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Please be generous, because what you do through your prayers and finances touches people the world over. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture, wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books: Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today.
Again, that's equip.org/app.